It's very good to be with you again.
Good morning.
Good morning. So this is the first time in quite a while that I haven't known the next time I'm coming back. Doesn't mean I won't be coming back. It's just things have developed, so I don't know when the next time that will be is. So I'm continuing on through this sermon of Jesus that we find in John 16. It began back in John 14, and it continues through a prayer in John 17. And this has been called the Upper Room Discourse. It's one of my favorite spots in God's Word. And so it's been a privilege to share it with you and walk together in it and just dwell in God's Word together. And so today we're going to be looking at verses 5 through 15. And when I was here last week, we got the news that the world will hate us. And I have to tell you, that wasn't a fun sermon. To be reminded again that the world will hate us. But we know that this is not a problem, because we have resources beyond what we can ask or imagine. And Jesus is going to help us and see why that is in today's passage. So with that, as a little bit of background, let's hear God's word. John 16, verse 5. But now I am going to him who sent me. And none of you ask, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, your sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said, he will take what is mine and declare it to you. I have just read from the most important book ever written. It's my privilege to declare that every word of it is true. So, I was in a conversation recently with a friend of mine, and when he was in college, he lived in a very tall tower. His dorm was a tower, and he lived at the top. It was so tall that when the wind blew really hard, when he was laying in his bed trying to sleep, he could feel the tower moving. And this feels wrong, felt like somebody made a big mistake. But it was explained to him by one of his civil engineering friends that this was by design. And it was important because it kept the building from being knocked down by the wind. So strange it sounds, a building that goes like this is much better than a building that stays still and then crashes when the forces get too high. So, something that would probably be good to know about me. My son is a recent civil engineering graduate. And what that means, when I'm out on the road with him, we look at bridges. And I get to hear about all kinds of invisible things as we're looking at bridges. I get to hear about tension, and I get to hear about compression, and I get to hear about torque. He's never seen any of these things. But he assures me they are as important as steel and concrete in terms of keeping the bridge standing. So they stay up when we drive across them. Because visible things and invisible things are working together in the design of a bridge. And I got a little bit ahead of myself because I started to say one of the things you should know about me is that I am the son, the dad, the grandson, the brother, and the nephew of civil engineers. It's a minor miracle that I escaped. And actually, if we went further, I'm the uncle of a mechanical engineer and cousin of a chemical engineer. So it's crazy. You can imagine the wonderful conversations. And then with that context, I need to make a public service announcement. Okay? That is the stuff that you build your driveway out of is concrete. And the truck that delivers it is a concrete truck. It's often called a cement truck, but it's a concrete truck because see, cement is an ingredient in concrete. And concrete is what you build stuff out of. The more you know. Remember those commercials? I wish I had the more you know. Just a public service announcement. So, you are hearing from a preacher with an engineer culture that is not an engineer. Isn't that weird? Here we are. And so, with that said, and trust me, all of that is important. With that said, let's dig into today's passage. So Jesus tells his disciples that he is going so the Spirit can come. But now I am going to him who sent me. And none of you ask me, where are you going? But I have said these things to you, but because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nonetheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage. So, Jesus observes that none of his followers are asking where he is going. And he explains, it's because you're self-centered. You're fixated on you and the fact that I'm not going to be with you when you should be happy for me. Because I am going to my Father. But they are filled with sorrow. So, Their response shows that they're self-absorbed people, which is really another way of saying they're people. Because we tend to be that way. But they were not asking about Jesus, and it's a joy, this fulfillment, his reunion with his Father. But your heart is full of sorrow because I said this. So, next time I'm with you, Lord willing, we're going to look at sorrow turning into joy. So that's an important part of this that we just don't quite get to this morning. Right now, they're sitting in sorrow. And Jesus is observing it, and while he understands it, he's gently reminding them, this is not the way it ought to be. And so, we move forward. It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's for your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, that is the Holy Spirit, that's that word we looked at earlier in the sermon, the Helper, the Advocate, the Greek word is Paraclete, the one that is there to comfort and encourage and to help them live. If I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So it's to your advantage that I go away, Jesus is saying. Because if I don't, the Helper won't come. And you need the Helper. Because he's going to do more than you can ask or imagine. That's what he does. He does more than we can ask or imagine. And this conversation reminds us where Jesus is headed. Because in a timeline that is getting shorter all the time as this sermon continues, as Jesus is giving this last teaching to those closest to him, the timeline is getting shorter. The cross is getting closer and closer. He's going to leave this time to go to the garden. And he's going to be arrested from that garden. And he's going to be tried and abused. And he's going to be taken to the cross. And he's going to be crucified. And we see that the cross is the necessary price that must be paid for our sin. And that's why he must go by way of the cross. Because it's that payment of sin that opens the door for the Helper to come and do all that he intends to do, which is more than we could ask or imagine. And so this becomes the subject matter of the conviction that the Holy Spirit will bring after Jesus goes next. And his discussion of this Helper. We pick it up in verse 8. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and concerning righteousness and concerning judgment. So he's going to convict about sin. He's going to convict about righteousness. He's going to convict about judgment. So we start with concerning sin, and Jesus lays this out by looking at it and sort of cooperating with the sermon that Jesus gave. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. That is, he will convict the lost person of being sinful because he doesn't believe in Jesus. Apart from Jesus, we are left in our sin. The Holy Spirit is going to convict people so they can trust in Jesus and find life. So he convicts concerning sin. And then he convicts concerning righteousness. Concerning, in verse 10 now, concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. He goes to the Father. The idea is that the Spirit will convict the world of the quality of righteousness possessed by the world, and that is, it's a righteousness that is completely inadequate. The righteousness of the world is inadequate. And that's bad news. It would be very bad news if it weren't for the good news. The good news is there is a righteousness that is adequate. It's the righteousness of the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So when the world fails to believe Jesus' message, the gospel, it is relying on its own righteousness. And that means it's dead and separated from God. Okay? So, friends, we have a need to be convicted of our sin. And we have a need to be convicted of inadequate righteousness. And then he moves forward concerning judgment, which we find in verse 11. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. So the idea is that the world's judgment is broken. The lost person's assessments are not reliable. The world structure's assessments are not reliable. They're broken. So we need a helper to make right assessments in a world of broken assessments. Judgment. Good is called evil, evil is called good. We have a need for this conviction that it's broken. Because the source of the bad judgment is Satan, the ruler of the world, and he is judged. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Okay. So we can take a breath. I can take a drink of water. And we can see where we are right now. We can summarize what Jesus just said, or summarize the implications of what Jesus just said, but by realizing that we do not interface with the world alone. We do not communicate the gospel alone, because the Spirit is active and he is convicting. We partner with him in witness. That's a big thing from last week. We partner with him in witness. He is doing the heavy lifting. We are participating in our weakness, while he convicts in his strength, and both glorify God. That's good news. Our weakness glorifies God, because the Spirit's strength glorifies God at the same time as they work together. If you think back to the illustration I started with, we have real, visible things that we're called to do. And they are empowered with invisible things. What we fight as the visible stuff is weak. And the invisible stuff that the Spirit does is strong. Together, they glorify God. I glorify in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus packages that, and then He says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. And that's still the case. God doesn't bring all of the truth at once. We could bear it. There's a process to learn it. And in God's graciousness, He provides what we can bear as we grow, and then we can bear more. Learning is a process. Receiving truth is a process. God has created us this way. He has a plan, and the Spirit teaches this way. A silly illustration is, I can't give this whole sermon of Jesus in one Sunday. Oh my goodness. We've been here a lot of Sundays. Lots of parts of us couldn't bear it if we tried to do this all at once. And so it becomes a little picture of the way that God works. Learning is a process. The delivery of truth is a process. And we get to be the beneficiaries of that. And then He identifies the helper just a little bit more explicitly in verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to you. Guides God's people into all truth. And says He's going to declare the things that are to come. He's going to declare the truth. He's going to declare encouragement. The encouragement we have in the good future that God has. And God has a good future for His people, and that encourages us. Verse 14, He, that's the Helper, that's the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, that's the He being talked about there. He will glorify me, Jesus says, the Spirit will glorify Jesus. He will glorify me. But He will take what is mine and declare it to you. Takes what's mine and He declares it to you. And this becomes another reason that it's to our advantage that Jesus goes away. Because the Spirit will continue the work. He does that for us in the same way He promised to do it for those in the upper room when He was delivering the sermon. Spirit takes what is Jesus's and gives it to God's people. All the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that He will take what is mine and declare it to Spirit takes what is mine, Jesus says, He declares it to you. And that's where we're going to stop in terms of Jesus' teaching today, but we're going to spend just a little bit of time thinking about how do we apply it. And when we come face to face with these amazing promises of this work that the Holy Spirit's going to do, what do we do now? And what we do is we do some visible stuff and we do some invisible stuff. And so let's look at that. So throughout this sermon of Jesus's, we have a new position and a new identity. And this new position and this new identity, the Holy Spirit works to convict the world and to declare to the church that we are now better equipped to respond to heat with love. Okay, you remember where we started? The world will hate you. Remember I said that wasn't a fun sermon? That was a hard sermon. But here, we see that when the world hates us, because of the Spirit's activity in us, we are equipped to respond to the hate of the world with the love of the gospel. And that's why the Lord has chosen to call you an ambassador. Because you represent Him to those that need Him. So the union of the Father and the Son is again emphasized what I have as mine. What He's given me is mine. All of these things and the way they're working together, emphasizing the foundation of the union with Christ, and now the Spirit is included in that. So we see that in the Trinity, it's not just a two-person union, it's a three-person union, perfect love, perfect fellowship, and we are being swept up into that relationship in Christ. So Jesus has said, the coming of the Holy Spirit is to our benefit and advantage. He is our partner in relating to the world, the weak with the strong, the invisible with the visible, working together to deliver the message, to represent God. And He convicts the world. There's an implication there. It's not my job to convict the world. It's not your job to convict the world. Do our eyes see that the world is in need of convicting? Absolutely. But our job is to trust in the Spirit, to do what the Spirit can do. He said, He will convict regarding sin, regarding righteousness, regarding judgment, because we live in a world in need of that conviction, and it's the Spirit who is going to do that. And He is our teacher in the church, teaching us everything of Jesus, who has everything from the Father. And that's where this task of preaching, this thing that I'm doing right now, is I'm endeavoring to teach, places me in a position of incredible humility. Because I can't do anything. I work hard, I plan, I prepare, I study, and my mouth says stuff, and it's like the visible part, and God has declared that I'm the weak part, and His word is the strong part because it's the sword of His Spirit, and His Spirit does this with strength. He convicts, He teaches with strength. So I get to partner in my weakness with His strength. See, the Lord do something, and I'm praying. He's doing amazing things even right now. Because He's equipping you to respond with love to a world that often shows itself to hate you. But I'm not special. This is my ministry today. You have a ministry today. You have a ministry throughout this week. And God is going to show up in your ministry as you do visible things. And He empowers you with the invisible to accomplish things that glorify the Son that are beyond what I can ask or imagine. But in this together and then say, it's a glorious privilege and place that the Lord has given us as the people of God to be his ambassador and to represent him. He's the teacher who teaches everything. Just everything that Jesus has. And Jesus has everything from the Father. Now, the not yet believer, because you might be here as a not yet believer. And I've been talking to you as though you're a believer. And that's okay. But you might be here as a not yet believer. And I want to be sure to talk to you if that's who you are. As well. And you see, the not yet believer who might be here today needs to consider the activity of the Holy Spirit and allow the conviction. Because you remember the Holy Spirit to convince regarding sin, regarding righteousness, regarding judgment. You need to let that Holy Spirit, that conviction, to move some invisible things. Some invisible things are doubts. I've never seen a doubt. I've seen the fruit of doubt, but I've never seen a doubt. I've actually never seen a belief. I've seen the results of belief. And belief is real, doubts are real. But they're invisible. They're kind of in the category of compression and tension. They're real. But you can't see them. You can't even measure them. But you can't see them because they're invisible. And today, if you are a not yet believer, I'm encouraging you to allow the Spirit to move your doubts into belief, which is invisible, but oh my. So completely real. Earlier I told a silly story about concrete and cement. It's actually a very precious story to me. Because the story about concrete and cement came to me when I was eulogizing my dad. And it illustrated his manner of persuading people about the gospel. So I told about all these engineers. I don't know, do you know the difference between an introverted engineer and an extroverted engineer? The extroverted engineer looks at your shoes when he talks to you. Right? They're not known to be a bunch of gregarious people. They're quiet. And my dad, in his quietness, would never have corrected somebody that called it a cement truck. He never would have corrected somebody that said we just poured cement to make a new driveway. He would never have corrected that. But he would have wanted you to know. In the same way, when it comes to the gospel, there are a lot of mistakes in our world. A lot of people equate the gospel with works and effort, with a family history or a pedigree. It's not the stuff of the gospel. In his eulogy, he said he might not have corrected you the way he should have. But I promise you he would have wanted you to know. At his funeral, I shared Ephesians 2:8-9 to those that were gathered. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. That powerful verse, it's not powerful because I said it. It's powerful because the Holy Spirit uses it, because it was written by the Holy Spirit to be the sword of the Spirit. Therefore, it's powerful. It corrects these ideas. It convicts us about sin, about righteousness, about judgment. So the good news is contained here. Tells us what it means to be right with God. It tells us what it means to be transferred from death to life, and to life eternal. So, my dad wouldn't have corrected you, but he would have wanted you to know. Spirit, I'm convinced, going to do invisible things to move into life. So if you're not yet a believer, that's your invitation. And if you're a believer, this is true of you. And if you're in Christ, this is your message, that you get to share your weakness with the Spirit who is strong, the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this gospel that we can only understand because your Spirit has worked. So, Father, on this part of the sermon, when Jesus gave it, the one who usually doesn't draw attention to himself got the spotlight because Jesus chose to put it on him. We are thankful. We are thankful that Jesus made it clear that it is to our advantage that he went to you, Father, so that you could send the Spirit and his strength to produce life, to produce power in our weakness. So Father, thank you for this advantage that you have given to us. And we ask that you would teach us day by day, moment by moment, how to walk in this advantage. We ask this, Father, in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.